שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמר הרבש עניין.
Hello, we are reading the Rabash article concerning the importance of society. You can find it in the Arvut system as well as in the Sviva Tova and the social writings. You can send questions through our systems. Whoever asks a question in the hall is asked to stand up, hold the microphone close to his mouth, and speak loud and clear. The article from Rabash concerning the importance of society. Concerning the importance of society. It is known that one is always among people who have no connection to the work on the path of truth. But the contrary, always resist those who walk on the path of truth. And since people's thoughts mingle, the views of those who oppose the path of truth permeate those with some desire to walk on the path of truth. Hence, there is no other solution but to establish a separate society for themselves, to be their framework, meaning a separate community that does not mingle with other people whose views differ from that society. And they should constantly evoke in themselves the issue of the purpose of society, so they will not follow the majority. Because following the majority is our nature. Since if the society isolates itself from the rest of people, meaning if they have no connection with other people in regards to spiritual matters, and their contact with them is only on corporeal matters, they will not mingle with their views, since they have no connection in matters of religion. But when a person is among religious people and begins to converse and argue with them, he immediately mingles with their views. Their views subconsciously penetrate his mind to such an extent that he will not be able to discern that these are not his own views, but what he received from the people he connected with. Therefore, in matters of work on the path of truth, one should isolate oneself from other people. This is because the path of truth requires constant strengthening, since it is against the view of the world. The view of the world is knowing and receiving. Whereas the view of Torah is faith and bestowal. If one strays from that, he immediately forgets all the work of the path of truth and falls into a world of self-love. Only from a society in the form of they helped every man his friend, does each person in the society receive the strength to fight against the view of the world. Also, we find the following in the words of the Zohar. When a person dwells in a city, inhabited by evil people, and he cannot keep the mitzvot of the Torah, and does not succeed in the Torah, he relocates and uproots himself from there and plants himself in a place inhabited by good people, people with Torah and with mitzvot. This is because the Torah is called a tree. As it is written, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And man is a tree. As it is written, for is the tree of the field man. And the mitzvot in the Torah are likened unto fruits. And what does it say? Only the trees of which thou knowest that they are not trees for food, them thou may destroy and cut down. Destroy from this world, and cut down from the next world. For this reason, one must uproot himself from that place where there are wicked. For he will not be able to succeed there in Torah and mitzvot and plant himself elsewhere among righteous, and he will succeed in Torah and mitzvot. Since man, whom the Zohar compares to the tree of the field, suffers like the tree of the field from bad neighbors, meaning we must always cut down the bad weeds around us as they affect us, we must keep away from bad environments, from people who do not favor the path of truth. We need a careful watch so as to not be drawn to follow them. This is called isolation, meaning when one has thoughts of the single authority called bestowal and not public authority, which is self-love. This is called two authorities, meaning the Creator's authority and one's own authority. Now, we can understand what our sages said. Rav Yehuda said, Adam HaRishon was a heretic, as it is written, and the Lord God called unto the man and said unto him, where art thou? Where has thine heart gone? In Rashi's interpretation, heretic refers to a tendency towards idol worship. And in the commentary, Etz Yosef, it is written, when it writes, where has thine heart gone? It is heresy. As it is written, that ye go not about after your own heart. This is heresy, when his heart leans towards the other side. But all this is very perplexing. How can it be said that Adam HaRishon was inclined towards idolatry? Or, according to the Etz Yosef commentary, that he was in the form of that ye go not about after your own heart. Is it heresy? According to what we learn about the work of God, that it is solely about the aim to bestow, If a person works in order to receive, this work is foreign to us. For we need to work only to bestow. And he took everything in order to receive. This is the meaning of what he said, that he failed in go not about after your own heart. In other words, he could not take the eating from the tree of knowledge in order to bestow, but received the eating from the tree of knowledge in order to receive. This is called heart, meaning the heart wishes only to receive for one's own benefit. And this was the sin of the tree of knowledge. To understand this matter, see the introduction to the book Panim Masbirot, and from this we can understand the benefits of the society. It can introduce a different atmosphere, one of working only in order to bestow.
כן? Yes.
תודה רבה, רב.
Thank you very much, Rav. Can you hear me?
מה זה הסבים רעים בסביבה שלנו?
What are bad weeds in our environment? What are the bad weeds that we need to uproot?
שאדם נקרא עץ השדה.
Man is called the tree of the field. And we understand that if we want to grow some kind for success, then we have to clean the field from any other thing that might ruin our plans to grow the right crop. That's how we do this, we do it in life. If I want my kid to grow in a certain way, in a good way, in a certain style, then I look for that kind of environment that can provide that kind of influence and affect him this way. And that's what we do, that's what we try to do. Same thing here. If we are in a plan to grow ourselves as well as our kids, our grandkids, and we want them to grow in a certain way, then accordingly we need to prepare the ground for them. This is called preparing the field.
What on my behalf is it? I come, I have an environment, we have the environment here around us, we're developing with it and growing. How do I, as far as I'm concerned, what is a bad weed that I can say to myself that it's harmful to us, that as far as I'm concerned, does not contribute to the goal for me?
No, such people that are completely resistant to our direction to grow and develop, they, to begin with, almost never happen to come to us. But still, we need to see that each and every friend is truly in the same direction that our teachers set for us. And that's important. It's important because we realize that by that we can promise ourselves to reach the right goal.
Thank you.
You wanted to add?
Huh?
Can you please explain this first sentence in the article?
What?
I'll read it. It is known that since a person is always amongst people that have no connection to the path of truth.
Okay, so he's no longer talking about us here. And he says, it speaks generally.
Okay, so on the second, another paragraph, he says, one who sits in a city where there are bad people and cannot observe Torah and Mitzvot and does not succeed in Torah and Mitzvot, he uproots himself from there and moves to a place where there are good people of Torah and Mitzvot. And then he writes that again a little later. And what is this action of if a person feels that he's not succeeding in the Mitzvot of the Torah in good actions? Because his environment does not give him the forces necessary? What does it mean that he uproots himself and moves to an environment where there are righteous and good people and then he can observe the mitzvot of the Torah? What is this action?
What is this action? Did you ever go to Bnei Brak? I lived there for many years. Many, many years. And it's a different life, different spirit.
Is he writing about them or about us?
He writes about these and those, how much they can't connect and can't mingle with each other.
He writes here, in the matters of the work on the path of truth, the person needs isolation from other people. And then he interprets that isolation is where he is in thoughts of the single authority called bestow and not the self-love, which is multiple authorities. Why is isolation being in the single authority?
Because then I want to determine by myself, where am I going and what am I drawn towards? What am I reaching? And a society that thinks differently influences me from outside, and whether I like it or not, I mingle with them.
I'm asking if we can interpret this article internally, that he's not talking about Bnei Brak, that he's...
No, if a person divides to two parts, in favor and against the Torah, we're good with what he writes. Okay, anyone, there was someone else there, but I don't know.
Rav, he's cautioning us here. He's warning us from all these viruses that are outside. A big part of us works outside. We go around there. How are we cautious from all those viruses? Because we can't isolate.
He writes this in 1984. That's when we began to establish the society of Bnei Baruch. And therefore, we have to understand if it's even possible to understand what existed back then, what kind of relationships, conditions, and it's not exactly what there is today. We lived in such a way that it wasn't clear to everyone what is correct and incorrect, what is corporeality and spirituality, and how big is the gap between carrying out the common people's actions of Torah and Mitzvot and carrying out the spiritual practice. So we don't exactly understand the background, the context of what's written. Okay. Yes.
It seems to me like the best example is Yossi Ben Kisma, who is great in the Torah, but he gave up all the money and gold that he could have been given and adhered to the Torah and his students. And the question is actually, where do we take such forces, such ability to adhere to the friends, the society, and not be tempted in things that seem better? How? Where do you get that? The inner strength to be able to do that.
I think it's not that difficult. A person needs to arrange for himself the importance of things, because that's the main thing in life. What's more important than what is less important? And accordingly, he determines, decides.
Even when there are actually very big temptations, and he's offered, again, I'm taking the example of Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma, I think it's so special, this person, his greatness, and nevertheless, just wanted his students and just the Torah and not to give up anything else, even though he was great in the Torah.
First of all, a question. What do I need to achieve? As it's written, a person needs to go to the cemetery, sit on a rock, and think, what needs to become of my life if I do a self-scrutiny?
I don't see that we're quite doing this. And it's right, there's plenty to do. A person doesn't ever leave with half of what he wants still missing. We see, we're expressing ourselves, we're being tempted by all kinds of things in our daily life, where people's head is today.
What can he do? This is our nature, and we have to strengthen ourselves as much as we can to be still a bit more better aimed in our life. Otherwise, life goes by very fast and you remain without the right conclusion.
Correct, correct, Rav. Thank you.
What can you do? Therefore, we have to say that only the environment can promise us that we will be aimed correctly over the course of years towards the right direction. No other choice. All right.
Ken.
Yes.
Rav, inyan ha-chibur shanachnu roim.
The matter of connection, which we see as the essence of the work of the heart, is an internal thing. It's what happens inside of a person. If a person, like Baal HaSulam writes, that all the religions can join this work as long as they have a common goal, which is love of others. If we see someone in our society who is observing also other traditions of his own faith, Is there something we should be cautious about, worried about? Do I have to be careful and worrisome about it?
I don't think that such people will come to
we
us.
Have. We had a friend that left not too long ago for some reason, because he saw that he's not accepted in that way. He came to us, he was Bnei Baruch, he came from the United States, after many years he was abroad. He came, he studied with us, he really believes the inner path, but he also has a tendency to be part of that religion which he feels belonging to, and he practices it as well. The question is, do we here need to be worried about such a friend, to pay attention to something that he could somehow impact us in a bad way?
No. We can try to make room for him.
I once
visited the Yeshiva of Or Sameach, Joyful Light. You heard of that? It used to be something very known in my time. They would bring people back to become, that would make people become religious. And there was a young, powerful team of teachers there, and they would go to India, to all kinds of places where Israelis went, and they would come back with all kinds of ideas, that as if that place was some sort of a cleansing spot for them. And I was somewhat connected to them back then, and I knew them well. So that was a place where such people were intended to be. So people would come and pray in all kinds of ways, and it's just, you know, hard to describe. It's after people go through absorbing all kinds of techniques and methods. But we're not built for that. Typically, the people who come to us, they should know that they want to open to themselves the path that is more or less according to Bala Sulam, and advance towards recognition of the spiritual world.
The question is whether this external form of his observing, I'll say, even if I could say, there's a Muslim friend who comes, he is used to, from his youth, to pray five times a day, to wake up in the morning, to do like this and like that.
Let him pray.
There's nothing in that that bothers us?
Nothing that is a problem. Besides, Islam, by the way, is not considered idol worshipping. So there's no opposition really between Islam and Judaism.
Maybe in order for us to be clean, purified in this article here, what do we really need to be cautious about? We have a friend or another friend or has a certain tendency developing in a disclosed manner, that he has his own religion that he's keeping, just like a Muslim who keeps his religion. Does it bother us or not?
No, it shouldn't bother us, and actually it shouldn't bother him too. It's like you're sitting with your friend, and he likes to eat fish and meat, but you like parsley with hummus. So there's no actual contradiction. I think Bala Salam writes about this too in a few places. In short, there's no contradiction.
Thank you, Rav. There's just more friends that feel closer, let's say, to observe their religion. And the question is for them not to feel uncomfortable or comfortable, or
I feel
remove the strain.
No, there's also a place right here in the second floor. There is the place here where people can pray whenever they want. And those who follow the rules of Islam can also bring whether it's a small mat to, and then do it here, if whatever they need. Sure, no problem.
So, Rav, what do we need to be cautious about? What are those bad weeds that could take us somewhere else? If we could somehow be precise in this. One thing we have to worry about, it's, is he drawn to love of friends or not? If he's willing to observe it or not, with all the people in the world. And all the rest, he understands that things need to work out. Yeah, the Lord will help. Thank you, Rav.
Kent.
בוקר טוב. הסבים השוטים זה המחשבות.
Good morning, Rav. The wandering weeds, the tumbleweeds. Is that my doubts, my thoughts that are going around?
Yes.
That's what I was kind of confused, because if my these tumbling weeds are my diverted thoughts, like they say, like someone comes to kill you, you can kill him first. And, but to be in that knowledge that my war is with my thoughts,
with yourself.
Exactly, just to understand that there's some force that's changing my thought. That's the way I am being used. The question is just, how do I help that society so that it will grow more? Because I understand that this is my salvation from these wandering.
You should first think, in whatever environment a person is, he has to think about how to not hurt his society. So I have to live with them, incorporate with them, and see myself to what extent I'm with them together in some connection. And then see how can we truly be more connected according to the goal of life and the tools for that. And that's how we get closer to each other.
Yes, we have a gift tomorrow. We have this convention, yes.
Yes, tomorrow and the day after, we're going to make an effort to do great inner work, to open our heart to each and every friend, and thus make a big leap forward.
Thank you.
Yes.
I will continue, my friends. He's describing the work in the field and all that comes out of that. And he says that this war that we're in is, he calls it isolation. I lost the excerpt. And he says that he calls bestowal the single authority, and self-love he calls it the multiple authority. And this is the point that we need to, that's the main war.
Yes.
How do we enter this single authority?
That we only think of how to bestow warmth and love, how we connect to the friends, how do we connect to the friends that are in the environment, what are we willing to give for that. That's our work. If we try to behave this way, then of course we will succeed. Yes, yes. Go ahead, otherwise.
First of all, thank you very much. All that the Creator gives you, He also gives you the tools to deal with it. Because He is the good that does good. Therefore, He does not fail anyone. Thank you to Him for this. And my question, is the root of the soul what defines the place of a person in Malchut Ein Sof?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Rav, he writes here about isolation, that he's in thoughts of the single authority, which is called bestowal, and not the multiple authority, which is self-love, which is called the two authorities, meaning the authority of the Creator and his own authority. We say, on the other hand, that a person needs to be in no else besides him, and if not for myself, then who? That if he wants, that he has to earn a living, and he has to be, and if not, when he's doing that, he has to do, for, if not for me, then who? How's the difference between those two things and being in dual authority?
He exists in himself.
And where is the Creator if he's inside himself?
That's where he's with the Creator.
We mean even where I am, if not for myself, then who? Then I'm with, he's with the Creator?
Ken? If not for myself, then who? Yeah. Well, why is he doing that?
Means
forces and to know what is the goal. For which he's doing, if I'm not for myself, then who? That he guards himself from all the foreign influences. And instead of all the world's influences, he chooses a small, compressed environment that becomes his close circle. And with it, he breaks through all the boundaries and breaks free.
Meaning the thought of why and for what he's going now to go and earn a living, the very thought on that is what sustains him and none else besides him, even though he seemingly is intermingling with the general desires.
Where does he mingle with the
yeah, when he goes outside, he feels very exposed to all that's around. The question is,
in what respect can I mingle with them? I don't know. What? In what can I mingle with them? Tell me.
Today you're very exposed to the general public's opinions, even externally. You're seeing publications and advertisements. And
this indicates how far you are from that internally. I don't know. I was never mixed with the external world. No. In the beginning, it was because I didn't know that much Hebrew. And afterwards, and in general, this culture, Israeli culture, was a bit strange for me. Even though I used to like some of the songs and some other things, but not that much.
No.
That's it. That's it, guys. Yes, of course. How can we have it without the public's representative?
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, friends. Ah, my fuses are ignited right now. I know there's Christians, Muslims, all kinds. We have from all the world. After all, we're diversified with all those things, religions, etc. And then the question comes, tell me, the Torah was given to the Jewish people, okay?
No.
Why not? Who was it given to?
It wasn't like there was a Jewish nation that existed before the reception of the Torah.
I'm sorry?
I'll say it again for you. Before this people received Torah, it didn't exist as a people. Rather, the reception of the Torah and carrying out the Torah made that group into a people.
How can you actually explain that most of the Kabbalists were with a beard, Jews, or maybe I'm mistaken, I don't know. And the majority of them were, you could say, call it the costume or whatever you want to call it. But when we're talking about the history of the Kabbalists, they were Jewish religious people. How could you explain that?
Because in truth, there is a group inside humanity that was more suitable for the reception of the Torah. And that's why that group accepted it.
Meaning, according to what you're saying, I heard Bala says they shouldn't bother anyone if they're Muslim or Christian or whatever they are, to do their work. They can continue to use their religion, as you say, a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, and the main thing is to deal with what he's doing and not bother him. What does he mean that each should continue with his religion and we will continue seemingly
in their customs?
Exactly. How can you explain such a thing? What's their traditions?
Why not?
No. I'll say why not. I'm sorry for opening this up, but I have to kind of open this up. We have many holidays. Shavuot, Pesach, all kinds of holidays. Another religion has, they have Easter and their whole thing and all their holidays. How can you connect these things? Meaning, nevertheless, each is in his nationality. And where are we actually being told that there's something above these religions, above these traditions, above these so-called commandments, that the religious Jews or religious Christians are? So I'm completely confused from this. How can you make order in this?
No, I don't think this is the time for it. That's just your confusions. And if you're confused, why do we need to all engage in that now?
No, it's not just confusion. But Islam says each can keep their religion and they can use this and it won't bother anyone and they can continue to do the work as if there's something that's above everyone, above all the religions.
Before the people of Israel received the Torah, all over the world, there were still all kinds of customs. But they were like totems, how to put it. They were different kinds of idol worshipping in different groups, and it wasn't actual religion. And all of the religions, as we know them, began from the people of Israel that received the Torah and then didn't properly keep it. And therefore, they kept all kinds of customs and rituals, and well, and that's how it became broken. But basically, you can see both in Christianity and Islam and dozens of other small religions, if we can actually call them religions or belief systems, they're all resulting from the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning that what the Creator gave to that group called Israel.
Meaning, what actually unites all those rituals, all those religions, all those things, that they're following what?
That they follow a single God.
Meaning no one is going to actually bother us from drawing the forming light from what, actually?
No one prevents it.
What are all the religions going to draw the reforming light? They're sitting in all these different religions. How do you draw the reforming light in the whole world?
They should turn to the upper force,
That he's the landlord, let's say.
Yeah, let's say he's the source of everyone. So they should turn to him and receive from him.
I understood, thank you. He writes here, from this we will understand the benefit of a society that can bring work that is only in order to bestow. How is the atmosphere of in order to bestow built?
How do you build a society that has the atmosphere of the spirit of bestowal?
Yes.
It appears in a way that everyone wants to help the other. Everyone is close to the other. Everyone thinks about a single goal, single common goal, as written to us.
There's
a feeling there's a very special atmosphere here, also in the convention, this atmosphere that kind of draws the person, and you feel like you're you just flow with it. But why is it? But is it like the air is like thicker when there's in order to bestow? Or
that depends on the intensity of thoughts and desires that everyone has and everyone together. The fact that everyone is inspired, that's one thing. But the fact they want to connect in their thoughts, desires, and goals to each other, and to turn that work into something big, something great, something huge, that's their work. That depends on them.
And what's the difference with coming and demanding connection or demanding the light in order to bestow?
The demand connection is that they only want to connect between them. That could be in any other environment. That's it. Could be in a soccer group. They go out to a game and they want to be connected in order to play well with each other. But for us, we want to be in a connection as one man in one heart, which means we all have the same goal. We all have to reach that goal.
How can you refine our goal when we're working on connection so it will be really precise?
You have all of the materials about this.
No, but let's say now a convention's coming, so we can be united as one man in one heart, but we probably need something additional.
No, if we carry out as one man in one heart, we actually flow in the same direction. Okay?
As, oy. Holland.
Oh, Barbara. Okay, Holland.
Morning. Sometimes we learn, let's say, that a Kabbalist needs to have one leg in doing his work in the normal society. And in the other leg, you need to be, let's say, in a spiritual society. So how do you explain that, let's say, of isolation?
How should we conduct our life and hold on to that? That is sometimes a problem for a person. But if I feel myself connected to my society and what's important to the society, the goals, even the what's customary to do. So I feel like I have no contact to anything besides my society. And that's how I advance. I can't be manipulated in all kinds of one with all kinds of wise things, let's say. Turkey too.
Havzullah.
Havzullah.
Boker Tov Rav Yakar, Kriya Elomi. Rav Yakar, toprağın içindeki güçlü minareleri aktifleştirmek için ışığı nasıl çekebiliriz?
Good morning, dear Rav. World Kli. How do we draw the light such it will bring the great dissipate all the terrible poisons in the ground? How do we draw the light so that it awakened the powerful minerals in the ground? How do we draw the light to strengthen our environment, actually?
We want to be in a society that Bala Sulam tells us how to build it. We want to make room for each and every one in terms of how we connect to each other. And we certainly want to be connected as one man in one heart, to one creator, and to all our teachers, to follow their path exactly. And then we are certain that we ultimately will reach the goal. Ultimately, we'll reach the goal. Make an effort now, let's say, towards the upcoming Congress, and you'll see how even a single common effort, but it has to be a common effort, how much benefit you get out of that, and how you absorb such thoughts, desires, insights, qualities, new emotion. What seems to you as unrealistic now suddenly becomes real. But this has to be with all of your currently available desire. All right. Next.
Lo, as Niv, ma osim ala?
No. So Niv, what are we doing next?
We have an additional article from Rabash.
Please.
So we
are
moving to the article, the main thing we need. It exists in the Arvut, and you can find it on our sites. The Rabash article, the main thing.